It seems obscene that we were keen on Adam Shaheen and Ladarius Green. Let's travel back in time and unravel the schemes. Checking out our teams, this is Pod Redream. JT103, maybe you would see me. Trading back in Superflex to snag a QB. Got hindsight now to unravel the past. Back to the future because the value moves fast. You could go back to 2015. Tell yourself that Mariota's not at all what he seems. Or maybe a couple years ago that Josh Allen punchline really can throw. In the here and now, we'll make the world all right. Help you in the future with the past insight. In the time machine, from here you'll see everything it takes to build a dynasty. T to the I, to the M, to the E, M, A to the C, H, I, N, E. T to the I, to the M, to the E, M, A to the C, H, I, N, E. The Dynasty Time Machine coming at you.
Welcome, everybody, to the premiere episode of Dynasty Time Machine. Tonight, I am here with Bob Gilchrist. I am John Bosch, at John Bosch FF on Twitter. This is a new podcast where we are going to look back over some old trades to find out just how the value has changed on certain players. Bob, how are you doing? You ready for this podcast?
I am. I'm absolutely ecstatic to be here tonight. This has been a fun little exercise that I've been working on, and I think that we're going to find out a lot about these players.
Yeah, you've been putting out some stuff on Twitter, looking back at some trades using some tools, and it's been fun to see some of the values change. So we are, of course, a member of the Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast family, so we will be using the Dynasty Trade Calculator tools as we go through. Bob's going to present some players. I'm going to see if I can guess them blindly, and we're going to talk about the value change and what we see going forward for these players. So Bob, who do you have? What's the first player you have for us tonight today?
So we're going to start with a 12-team Superflex league. This 31-year-old quarterback, who had a value of 22 in August at the time of the trade, was traded along with Curtis Samuel and two second-round picks, the 205 and the 209 of the 2020 rookie draft.
Okay, so in August, it was this 31-year-old quarterback and Curtis Samuel for the 205 and 209. I'm probably going to side with the quarterback here for right now. I'm assuming that if he's a quarterback being traded for somewhere in the second, he's probably a starting quarterback. So for now, I'm going to side with the quarterback. And as we go along, you'll give me more information. We'll see if I can figure out who this quarterback is. Right now, I have absolutely no idea.
I think this one might surprise you. In October, he was traded along with Brandon Cooks for Dak Prescott and a 2021 third round pick.
Okay, so this quarterback obviously had some improvement from August to October. Either that or somebody really hated when Dak got hurt. Let's see, what quarterback had an improvement? A 31-year-old quarterback that improved like this. I'm thinking it might be like someone in the Cousins range or something like that. And in which case, I really like Dak Prescott, so I'd be struggling. The Cooks doesn't really do much for me either way. And the third obviously doesn't do much for me either way either. So this is basically quarterback versus quarterback. And in almost all those scenarios, I'm taking Dak. He's very high up in where I rank quarterback. So now I'm going to take the Dak side on this one.
Okay. In November, this quarterback was traded for the 2021 fourth round and fifth round picks.
What? What did I miss? Did I mishear the trade that involved Dak? Was that single quarterback? You sure that was Superflex?
I am 100% sure.
Okay,
has been on a roller coaster ride this season.
And now this quarterback is suddenly a 2021 fourth and fifth? That's nothing.
The calculator actually does the fifth round pick.
Carson Wentz? Is it Carson Wentz? No, wait, you said
Carson Wentz. He's not 31.
I mean, I'm still, whoever it is, I'm taking the quarterback here. I don't care. A quarterback for a fourth and a fifth pick in a super flex league. He was at one point a starter, even if he's not now. Oh man, now I'm, that Dak trade really threw me in a tailspin because now I'm way off. So,
well, I mean, it must have been a complete panic with that Dak trade when the injury happened.
I gotta believe so. All right, so I'm back on the quarterback side here because that's pretty cheap price to pay for almost any quarterback.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Cameron Newton.
Okay.
He did have that big flash in the middle of the season where he was putting up some points.
I feel okay with all those. I would still pay a fourth and a fifth for Cam right now. You know, in a super flex league, that's nothing. So I feel okay with all these. I feel okay with all my answers. I would have paid it for the mid and late second for him. I think that was a fair price then. Good Lord, I definitely want Dak over Cam. Oh, man, that poor person that gave away Dak.
And a pick.
I mean, it was a third, but still, like, oh, that's brutal. Well, you know the answers going in, Bob. Are you different than me on any of these? Would you have paid the second back in August for
Cam? I definitely would have. I'm in 27 Dynasty Leagues, and I have Cam in probably 20 of them. In hindsight, that is a bad decision, but he was very cheap in the offseason, and I was just trying to gobble him up just in case. I would definitely move him for Dak.
Yeah, that's easy. That's crazy. Maybe they're a huge Brandon Cooks fan. I don't know. Yeah, do we think he's the Patriots starter
next year? I don't think he's the Patriots starter, no.
Do you think he's the starter anywhere?
Once someone gets injured.
I think that's kind of where I'm at. I think he has a chance to be the Patriots starter next year. I think he has a chance to be a guy that like is brought in to, you know, let's say the Broncos go look for a veteran quarterback to challenge Drew Locke. I could see them bringing in a guy like Cam Newton. Granted, they could have done it this year, but every team could have this year. But, you know, just I'm thinking like landing spots where he could end up going if he's not a Patriot. He might be somewhere where it's a guy that's got a tenuous hold on a starting position, which gives Cam Newton a chance to get back on the field. So a fourth and a fifth, yeah, I will give that all day right now. I don't care about fourth-round picks or fifth-round picks. So I think that's pretty smashed to get a quarterback that I think could still start games in the future.
And that's probably about where his price will be over the offseason, is third, fourth-round pick area.
Yeah.
And
I would top out at a third. I would not give a second for him at this point. I would top out at a third because that's just a dart throw, and if he ends up becoming a starter, whether it be through injury or he outproduces some guy in camp, then all of a sudden that third turns into a second real fast.
I do think the Patriots will move on from Cam, just like we're going to move on to our next player. 12-team, full PPR. This is a running back. On September 1st, he was traded for a pair of 2021 fifth round picks.
Okay, so that's like nothings. I'm gonna assume right now I'm gonna side with the running back because I'm gonna assume this is a guy that's actually had some productivity throughout the year and fifths are worth nothing. So right now I'll side with the running back. Obviously I have no idea who this is from that information. How do we have an age on the running back?
Oh, I am sorry. He's a 22-year-old running back.
Ooh, dang, that's a super young one. All right. I'm still obviously going to side with the running back.
Your next trade took place a week later when he and a fourth and a fifth round 2021 rookie pick were traded for Raheem Mostert.
I'm not a huge Mostert fan, and the fact that you are bringing up with this running back is making me think it's probably like some UDFA that hit this year or something for a little bit. Not sure who it is yet because I'm terrible at figuring that out. I really want to choose the running back, but Mostert's the name that's known. And I think Mostert feels like was probably worth around a second or so at some point this year, like at his peak maybe. I think I'm still going to go with the mystery running back because I'm not a big Mostert fan. So I'm going to go with the mystery running back, hoping that you are bringing some running back that peaked really high this year.
On October 21st, this running back was traded for Robbie Anderson. And remember, it's a full PPR.
Okay, so I like Robbie. I have him in a lot of leagues. He's been super productive, but he never carries a lot of value. That's the problem with him. I'm still going to go with the running back. This is one I might end up regretting. If a guy that was traded for Mostert was traded for Robbie, I like Robbie over Mostert, so I feel good about my last decision. I'm still going to go with the running back here, just because I'm going to side with the running back. I'm curious who it is, but I if he's 22, he's got to have a potential to have a little bit higher of a ceiling than Robbie Anderson does at this point.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would completely side with you on this one. It's James Robinson.
Oh, geez, old Pete's. Yeah, that's I think that's easy. Although at this point, I am very much a seller of James Robinson if I have him anywhere, which I don't think I do, beyond maybe one or two leagues where I need to leave him for another week. But I'm definitely a big sell on James Robinson.
Why would you be a sell on him?
Because he hasn't been shown the investment by the team yet. He's a running back. I don't like any running backs. And he's on the Jags. I mean, I think the team is terrible. The team hasn't shown any, you know, if they sign him to a massive contract, sure, then they've invested. Then I will believe in him. I apologize for my UDFA bias. Sorry, Peter Howard. I don't believe in players until the team shows me they believe in players. If a team shows a commitment to a player, then I'll feel a little more comfortable. James Robinson right now is bringing at least a first, probably more than that. I don't think he's ever going to peak higher than that. I think this is his peak. He would have to continue this year after year after year in order for him to gain value. A guy that has no value at some point, the start of his career, he just doesn't have the ceiling of value. I would definitely take him over Mostert, Robbie Anderson. I would take him over all those. Every deal that here, I'm glad I chose the running back. Like, those are all smash deals. But at this point, I'm looking to cash out on him. Like, I hit the lottery. I won. I want my winnings. I don't want to just hold on to that lottery ticket until it's just a piece of paper in my hand. That's a lottery ticket, if you don't cash it in, becomes worthless. Now, granted, yeah, sure, you can rely on his production, which I would if I was, you know, still playing him anywhere this year. And then I would immediately be looking to trade him. I know there's a lot of people that like him more. I think you're one of them. But I just don't have, I don't have confidence that he gets to repeat it. We've seen it before. Players that come out of nowhere have a good season at running back. It's very, very rare that they stick and they continue that production. So I'm going to play the odds and I'll just take my winnings and move on from here.
Fair enough. He is signed through 2022.
For a very cheap deal.
under $1 million a year.
Yeah, like Jacksonville has to love that, and he has to absolutely hate it. It was probably great for him, you know, whenever he signed that deal, April, well, probably was out around when they signed or whatever, and now he's probably looking back and thinking, oh, man, I wish I could renegotiate already. And maybe he will. I mean, like, he's a prime candidate. I don't know that he has any leverage, but, like, he clearly has put up a huge year. He needs to walk into that office and be like, oh, I would like a little bit more money. But Jacksonville has no motivation to pay him. I mean, like, they have no reason to. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that contract situation. A guy that puts up that kind of production on that cheap of a deal, I mean, that's gold for an NFL franchise. So what makes you believe in him so much? Because you seem shocked that I would sell him at this point.
He's got the ball 290 times between rushing and receiving. He's got over 1,400 total yards. I believe in the numbers.
Yeah, he's definitely highly involved. And if he does it again next year, I mean, then he is a value stud. When I said his value can't go up, it can go up some. He'll never, no matter what, though, he'll never reach Like, he never has a chance to be that elite tier, just because if you start from so far away, the Dynasty community, we will never allow that. It's not how people view it. Even if he literally produces the same way Saquon does next year, he will never have the same value that Saquon does. That's probably wrong, and that's, you know, maybe you should invest in the cheaper running back in that case. But for me, it's such a risk that if he has bad games to start the year, his value goes to zero so fast.
He's averaging 4.5 yards per carry behind a Jacksonville line that is just not that good.
Yeah, I think part of my problem is just that he's also on Jacksonville. That's just the team that, man, I just don't trust. I wasn't in on Minshew last year. I'm not in on James Robinson this year. I don't know. Maybe I just don't like it when the Jags pull somebody out of nowhere and try to make them be this big, big star. And I for some reason, I struggle to buy in.
Well, they're going to have Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. That'll make the offense look a little bit better next year, and maybe next year if he starts doing it, I'll buy in. I'd rather wait, and if it costs me, if he produces the same way next year as he did this year, and I have to go get him, I'm willing to pay the extra price. Other than that, I'll cash out right now. I'll pay up when I see it, and I believe it, or when Jacksonville pays up. That'll be a big factor to me. Like if he gets a new contract in the offseason, my opinion of him will 100% change. I base so much on what the NFL tells us about these players. They tell us who they're going to invest in. They show it with their money. It's really not hard. So I don't need to outthink it. It's been the easiest way for me. If they draft you high, they're going to play you. If they pay you, they're going to play you. If they don't, you're going to get you're on a really short leash if they are not invested one way or another.
Follow the money. All right, we're on to our last one of the day, and that is a 24-year-old wide receiver in a full PPR 12-team league. Looking up on the historical value, he was 14.2 in August when he was traded along with a fourth round pick for Calvin Ridley.
Ooh, so this is going to be a good wide receiver. 24-year-old, 14.2, and a garbage pick. Although Calvin Ridley, I feel like, should be more. I love the tools on Dynasty Trade Calculator. I love being able to look up the historical value and trades that are made. That is a very nice little asset they got there. Calvin Ridley, man, I love Calvin Ridley. This guy, a 24-year-old wide receiver that would have been traded for Calvin Ridley. For now, I'm going to side Calvin Ridley because I take him over most 1-to-1 wide receiver trades. And this is basically a 1-to-1 for me since the pick was like a fourth or something. That's fairly irrelevant for me. So for now, I'm going to go Calvin Ridley, and we'll see how wrong I am. I'm hoping this wide receiver had a bad year and I end up looking good after this one, but it's probably going to go the other way. Let's see. What's our next one, Bob?
On September 17th, this player was traded for James Robinson.
Okay, so a little bit of rise, and he got traded for a running back who started off pretty hot. Let's see. In season, I might go the running back, but looking back, I mean, I always favor wide receivers just because their value holds so much better. 24-year-old, rose a little bit, traded for Calvin Ridley. Man, that's, at this point, I'm gonna take the wide receiver now. I don't know who it is yet, but I'm gonna go with the wide receiver now.
Is that based on the previous trade and not this trade?
Yeah, I mean, he was traded for Calvin Ridley, so I think he's got to be a decent wide receiver. You know, who would give up Calvin Ridley for a bad wide receiver? I don't know. And like I said, I mean, I typically tend to favor wide receivers just because of the value holding. So that's going to be the biggest thing, is the fact that it's a wide receiver versus James Robinson. So I will go with the wide receiver.
On November 20th, probably, you know, right before the trade deadline in some leagues.
Yep.
He and a third round pick were traded for Robert Woods.
See, now that's curious, because Woods is somebody that's very good, but he's always undervalued. Like, Woods value-wise, to me, I don't think he approaches Ridley. There, production-wise, everything like that, it looks like it favors Woods, but people just don't ever give him the right value. Oh, man. This wide receiver plus a third to get the Woods. Oh, man, I like Woods a lot. I'm really curious who this wide receiver is, a 24-year-old wide receiver. The value feels like it stayed pretty consistent the entire season. So it doesn't feel like this guy had a massive injury or had an up and down.
I failed to mention that his value in November was 9.2.
See, it should drop. But Robert Woods should be more than that. Robert Woods should be worth closer to like the late first value at least. Oh, man. Could this be? I'll probably take Robert Woods here just because I like Robert Woods and I take him over a lot of players. I might kick myself here giving up on a young wide receiver to take on Robert Woods, but Robert Woods, I like that offense despite the fact of what they did against the terrible Jets. I'm going to take Robert Woods. Who's the player, Bob? Burst my bubble.
Michael Gallup.
Oh, okay.
So well, that second trade, you went Michael Gallup?
Yeah, the second trade I kind of regret. Probably would go James Robinson, knowing the player's name. Definitely the Calvin Ridley side. Like, that's a smash. That was an easy, I got the right side there. Gallup versus Woods, man, that's really close. That's actually probably pretty fair. I like Robert Woods better, but yeah, that's the big factor, the age.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's done. Like, I don't think either of these players are done. I like Gallup. I mean,
lost Dak Prescott this year.
He didn't get injured, but his offense definitely got injured, and so that would explain some of the inconsistency in him. I don't know that Amari is long for Dallas. I think they have an out coming up soon, and he doesn't just, I don't know, something with Amari and Dallas doesn't seem to fit, so I think Gallup and Lamb could be a really nice pairing there with Dak. Oh, man. I think I would still go Robert Woods over Gallup at this point. Maybe try and trade Woods away next year. But for now, the only one that I regret is probably the James Robinson one. I would definitely take James Robinson over Gallup, but that's solely because I could trade James Robinson for more now. So that's a tough one. In September, that wasn't really. When did Dak get hurt? What week did he get hurt, I wonder? Like, that might have been... There's a chance that Gallup might have been still playing with Dak at that point. And that was definitely like a probably a lot more fair trade looking back in September when James Robinson had only done it for a game or two. And Gallup might have still been playing with Dak, so...
Dak was probably around October 11th.
Yeah, so hindsight-wise, I mean, it's real easy to say James Robinson, but I bet you in September, I bet you that trade looked pretty even. And the person that had James Robinson probably got him for basically free and was able to flip him and turn him into Michael Gallup for essentially free. And Michael Gallup was coming off an offseason with a lot of hype, So the value is definitely up there for Gallup. I think that's the only one I regret, and I only regret it because we can look back now and say, well, James Robinson's obviously worth more now. What about you, Bob?
Where would you fall
in all these?
I also had a lot of Gallup in the offseason. You know, he was relatively inexpensive once they drafted CeeDee Lamb. Thought he might be able to carve himself a role. I don't believe that he is worth any one of those trades today.
No, probably not. You're definitely not getting Calvin Ridley. You're not getting James Robinson. You might be able to pull Robert Woods.
Like you said, a lot of people undervalue him. He really is a solid part of the Rams offense. Normally, this is where you would end the show, John. But today, I've got an additional fourth player that I just couldn't find enough trades on, but I wanted to see what you thought.
Let's do it.
And this is a single quarterback, full PPR league, and he's a 26-year-old running back.
So nearly retired, obviously, at 26 as a running back. Kidding, kind of.
Traded in June for Golden Tate, the 209, and the 308.
This feels like you're trading for a guy for basically a year of production. Like, you traded a second and a third and Golden Tate, you know, whatever, throw in. And you're hoping to get maybe a year. So you're looking at like a David Johnson, Todd Gurley, I'm thinking, in that range, somewhere around there. In which case, I definitely would have paid that price for those players at that time of the year when you're getting ready to start the season and you're just looking to fill out a lineup. I don't think paying a second is too much to ask for a starting running back, even if it is only for a year. So I'm going to side with the running back here. I should know both those running backs' ages. I have no idea if they're close to 26, but they might be a little older. I don't know. They're definitely nearing the end of their careers.
In August, he was traded for Hunter Renfrow, Damian Harris, and Sony Michel.
Okay, so somebody was trying to lock up a backfield, getting both the Patriots running backs. Man. I'm a Sony fan, and I kind of like Harris, too. I hate having Patriots running backs, but this is the way to do it, is to have both of them, because then when one of them is out, like when Sony's out, you can actually play Harris and feel okay about it. So I think I'm going to go with the Patriots running backs in this case. Oh, and Hunter Renfrow. Nah, he doesn't register. Doesn't make a difference for me, but I'll go with the Patriots running backs now because I'm in the mindset of I'm just looking for production for this year. And getting both the Patriots running backs gives me a chance to make it a real easy starter right there.
Well, you made the right choice there because there was no value on him after the first week of the season because it was Jordan Howard.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, I regret giving up the second. I was not giving up a second for Jordan Howard. I guess that's when people thought he was going to be the starter in Miami.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense. I mean, that was probably what people were asking. I've never been in on Jordan Howard, so I feel okay about giving him up for the Patriots backfield because that gets me, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to find a starter, which I'm assuming that's what the person giving the second was trying to do too. It just didn't work out because you picked the wrong one. But hey, that's what happens when you gamble with a second trying to get a running back just to fill in.
A 26-year-old running back.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a wise investment. I do understand paying it when you have to because you just need a starter. And if that's what the market tells you in your league, you sometimes have to suck it up. So the process might not have been wrong. It's just the wrong player for me. I would never invest that in Jordan Howard. I never did. Never would. But I definitely would have spent a second on some other guys that I would have regretted. I would have spent it on Todd Gurley in the same scenario and regretted it just as much. So can't hate the process, but the result of it didn't work out. Didn't work out for me adding Gurley for cheap this year either. But, you know, I thought maybe a high-powered offense in Atlanta, it made sense. He was going to be the running back. I thought volume would overcome inefficiency. And, it didn't. So... Oh, well, I lost a lot of second-round picks that could have been, you know, a dart throw player.
He had a little value in the offseason. His historical value on Dynasty Trade Calculator, May, you were looking at only like 3.4. He peaked at a value of 4 So some people were interested between April and August, and he has fallen off the chart down to 0.4.
Yeah. He'll be on waiver wires here in the when roster cutdowns are due, when you have to clear out your taxi squad and your IR as MFL rolls over. Jordan Howard's a name that you'll see on waiver wires soon.
The average running back in the NFL is what, 3 years?
Yep.
That's your rookie contract.
Yeah, that's what you get. I've had this discussion with a lot of people lately. I struggle to really try to invest in running back until I know I'm in a chance to win. And then I don't care what it costs. I'll pay through the nose. I will overpay. Until then, I'll just carry wide receivers and tight ends. Tight ends have been shockingly valuable lately, like in holding, not valuable, but stable. Like they don't seem to go up or down. They just kind of hold because nothing really has been changing at that position. So as always, wide receiver just holds the value the best. Running backs, just it's really hard to keep any running back for me. Like I want to sell all of them as soon as the season's over. I'm sorry, not sell. I want to trade all of them as soon as the season's over so that I can just have nothing but insulated wide receiver value. Running backs that are up at the top right now are ones that I'm already looking, should I move out of them? Should I move out of CMC? If I don't do it this offseason, I'll be doing it throughout the season next year. The only way Christian McCaffrey is on any of my rosters at the end of next year is if I'm playing him in week 16. Otherwise, there's no reason to be keeping him as much as I love him. That's just kind of my thought process on all running backs at this point. After they've played for 2 years, I really want to start looking. If I've got them playing on their third year, it's time to move. Like it's not worth the risk. We're going to see a lot more guys go from what Gurley did, being nearly the top pick in dynasty startups. He probably was the dynasty startup 101 at some point in his career. And it wasn't long ago that he was that. And now it's
3 years ago.
Yeah. And now 3 years ago, he's going to get cut. Like he'll be on waiver wires as well. Probably people might stash him and he's just going to be a roster clogger. At this point, it's take what you can get. You know, if you could add a third to him and get a second, good Lord, I would smash that. But I don't think that's going to happen. He's probably going to have to be just like an included player in some sort of a deal that makes the offer look a little bit stronger. I move out of my running backs real fast.
I agree. I'm thinking the same thing with Zeke.
Oh, Zeke for sure, season. Yeah. Oh, I've already moved him recently in a couple of leagues. And very happy to do it. Sorry, Matt Price, that I traded him for Kittle. But that was one of my favorite moves coming down the stretch. I gave him Zeke Elliott for George Kittle because Kittle's on IR and Matt was in the playoffs, and I couldn't be happier about it. Get Zeke off my rosters, please.
Well, I think that's all we have, right?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. This was fun. For everybody out there, give everybody your Twitter handle so they can follow you. For those that don't know, Bob does some awesome graphic work. He's become a lot more involved in Twitter lately with the fantasy football world. So give him your Twitter handle so everybody can go out there and follow you and interact with you.
It's at Bob Gilchrist FF.
Oh, that's clever.
Well, you know, I saw a couple of people add a little FF and they were able to get their name on there. So I may or may not have stolen that from someone.
As for me, you can follow me. I am at John Bosch FF. You can follow the show at Dino Time Machine. That's D-Y-N-O Time Machine. You can email us. You can DM us on Twitter. It's a lot easier. If you have a player that you want us to review, if you know of a trade that happened, hit us up. Hit Bob up. Don't hit me up because obviously I stay blinded to these players. But let Bob know, and he can look into a player for you at any time and might be appearing on a upcoming episode. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this premiere episode. We hope to be back on a pretty regular basis. Might not be weekly, but we're going to strive to be close to that. Hopefully, we can do this weekly. There's definitely enough players out there whose values are constantly shifting in our dynasty landscape. Thank you, everybody. Till next time, enjoy.
It seems obscene that we were keen on Adam Shaheen and Ladarius Green. Let's travel back in time and unravel the schemes. Checking out our teams, this is Pod Redreams. JT 103, maybe you would see me. trading back in Superflex to snag a QB. Got hindsight now to unravel the past. Back to the future because the value moves fast. You could go back to 2015, tell yourself that Mariota's not at all what he seems. Or maybe a couple years ago that Josh Allen punchline really can throw. In the here and now, we'll make the world all right. Help you in the future with the past insight. In the time machine, from here you'll see everything it takes to build a dynasty. T to the I, to the M, to the E, M, A to the C, H, I, N, E. T to the I, to the M, to the E, M, A to the C, H, I, N, E. The Dynasty Time Machine.